can do it like me, like me, like me. Yeah, nobody can do it like me, like me, like me. Nobody can do it like me.
Yo, yo, yo. What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another episode of the Jess Lee Roadshow presented by Winject Studios with Black Label Nash, Jess Lee, and Steve Virginia. What is shaking bacon?
Hey,
what up, brother?
If I'm the bacon, you what's the eggs.
Turkey bacon, please.
Yes, me too, actually. Well, every once in a while, we get a hankering for some bacon that is like the real bacon. And it's from a little restaurant called First Watch. And they make this $1 million bacon. And it's like...
Is it really $1 million?
Oh, it is so
good. I mean, I wouldn't pay $1 million for it, but it tastes like $1 million.
I will pay $1 million to get the visual out of my head because no piggy, please.
So, dude,
I actually don't ever really eat a lot of pork, though. I know that's kind of weird as a country girl, but like,
Not really, to be honest with you, because we're Italians. I mean, in the South, yes, you do eat a lot of pork, but however, like the barbecue wise, like pulled pork. Like I'm brisket and that type of stuff and ribs and
me
whatnot.
Too.
I'm not really
like not the cow ribs though. Not like if I've still
right yeah hunt, beef yes
yeah
beef.
I'm still in the hunt for a place that serves like really great beef ribs because you always see
I don't even know why you didn't go there when you were in Texas. You should have went.
We just didn't have an area that we could when we were rushed and it was like we were trying to find something that was still going to be great for the show. And mm-hmm. and work and be kind of hole in the wallish. So I loved that place that we went to. It was really awesome. But I agree because they do have a lot of great beef ribs there. Mm-hmm. But
so I used to play at a barbecue place for free barbecue in Brentwood, Tennessee.
Oh my God! Yes.
Good for you, sir.
Back when he came in, when he first
that's
came
it,
into town.
That's all you got.
That's all I got. I used to eat beef ribs. They were free.
There's a lot of cool places in Texas, Austin. There's a lot of food trucks.
Yeah.
And one thing I love about being in London and yet never said, is the side of Canary Wharf. There's a lot of food trucks off with, what is it called? I can't remember the name of the place off the top of my head, but anyways, there's a lot of food trucks there and you can get actually halal like beef ribs and, you know, like good stuff and chicken. And
I love food truck invasions.
Oh, it's so good.
They do that on a street here every Thursday in Nashville. And then
they do
back when I was in Florida, in my area, they
actually shortage. That's what
they used to once a month call it the food truck invasion. And they come in and they actually like fill out the whole South Florida fairgrounds.
Where was that place we passed on while we were on tour with it was like a trailer park?
Don't say it because I want to open one. Okay. We're not even saying that right now. I literally have told him this before, and I'm like, don't talk about my
they
ideas.
Already exist. It's not
yeah,
like
but it was
secret.
Like the only one I've ever seen. So it's not here.
We'll
let's put it that way.
It's not here. It was somewhere. I don't even remember where it was.
Yeah, don't remember.
It was somewhere in USA. I truthfully
you never
don't
saw
remember
it.
Where it was.
Don't remember.
You know what I haven't had in a long time? Maybe you should send it is some peanuts.
Well, he's allergic to peanuts.
I know, but
I can send you peanuts.
Well, you can't get green peanuts here or why? The other one. You can't
pistachios?
Find it.
Like pistachios?
No, like, you know what I'm talking about? Like the ones you like for boiled peanuts. Oh my gosh. I'll tell you one thing. I've been watching this guy. He's like in Louisiana. I can't remember what his name is, but he's like, all right, dude, let me go. I'm going to learn y'all today. And he shows you how to make like crawfish, like the low country boil. And he talks, of course, the Bayou accent. I don't know what his name is, but he has me dying laughing. And he's like, I'm going to learn y'all today. And he goes, he puts all the crawfish and everything in there. And he puts put this in there. And oh my God, he's hilarious. He goes, what did he say? He goes, oh, we got to hydrate. And he has like one of those beer can, like chug, I don't know, like what are they called? Shotguns?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like chugging beer. He's like, make sure you hydrate. I'll find the link. Anyways, whatever his name is, I'll put a little shout out here because he has me dying laughing. It's so
my
funny.
Family used to do the low country boil and then they'd drain the water out and dump it on newspaper.
Yeah,
on
man. That's it right there. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah. That's some people don't do the newspaper because, you know, the ink and all that stuff. And I'm like, well, what good are you then?
I put other things in my body that shouldn't have been there. So I had a little bit of ink. I mean, you can see it right now. I'm like, I'm not going to do that. And she's covered with tattoos or he's covered with tattoos.
Right,
I'm like,
exactly.
You know, like,
I'm not
going to
eat
bro.
That.
Like, don't.
Yeah, don't. You're missing out. More for me.
Right. More for me. Because I'm going to learn y'all today. So what are we learning y'all today about today? That's pretty good. You see how I did there? That was pretty good.
I was really good. That was a nice segue. So we just came back from touring through Arkansas to Georgia. And we had a grand old time. And we had been talking about how when we were in Georgia, we were going to go ahead and do a little excursion out there around my touring with a company called iFly. And we have to give them a big, big thank you because iFly seriously hooked us up. They actually ended up giving us a completely private flying lesson, which normally you do these lessons in a group. We ended up doing the terminal where it's simulation where you, it's not really a simulation. It's a
tube.
What do you call it? It's a terminal where there's like air blowing. So you're like simulating that you're skydiving in a way. I think of
that movie Drop Zone with Wesley Snipes back in the day. Do you remember that movie?
It was kind of so like it's basically a big tube.
Yeah. Right?
It's a big tunnel. Like it looks like a giant like science beaker. And then there's a metal grate that holds like 5,000 pounds. And then under the metal grate is this huge like ventilation system that blows air through the tube.
And, is it hot air?
No, it's cool.
No, it's just like, yeah, it's cooler. It's kind of neutral.
It's a neutral air, but it blows it so hard that like obviously you get in the tube and you're able to simulate skydiving.
Yeah. What if you're massive and it didn't pick you up?
There's a weight limit. Yes. So we get in there because this part isn't shown and then we'll start.
You go in and you're like.
I did see a picture of this big, huge lady and this horse. And it says, I feel sorry for the horse.
Oh, my God. Like, for real, though. I mean, I feel like there's sometimes they're just and I'm not trying to necessarily ever body shame by any means. But there's some things that you can't like you just can't do like. You know, if you're on a roller coaster and you can't buckle the seat, you probably shouldn't
safety
ride
first.
That roller coaster.
Safety like, is paramount. Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I always feel like I can kind of talk a certain way about when it comes to weight because I had a crazy weight journey. I was extremely obese at one point, and
and you were so like 75 pounds on a cracker. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I seriously though, sometimes I look back at my photos and I can't even believe like how far I let myself go. And you know, there were times where things were like, I wasn't able to go do something or whatever. And I didn't get it at the time. And then looking back, I'm like, well, not only is it probably for my safety, but when you're dealing with like another live animal, like you shouldn't, that's like torture to the horse. That's not fair. Like, I don't know. That makes me sad for the horse. I'm not going to lie. So.
It's sad for the spouses that have to deal with that too. You know what I mean?
Well, we've had this conversation. That's kind of true. So when I met Steve.
She's getting ready to tell how fat I was.
When I met Steve, sip of water.
That's what she's getting ready to do. She goes, when I met Steve.
When I met Steve, sip of water. Hold on, I got to sip some water before I talk about
this. So I was like, here we go.
When I met Steve, he was a big boy. He was tons of fun. So
motorboating son of a gun you.
I'm 5'10".
You old sailor you.
I was 240.
240.
He was a big boy.
How tall are you? You were 5'10"?
I'm 5'10".
5'10".
So I was big. I was a big fella.
You were bigger than 240.
No, I was 240. That was up my head.
Well, you did not hold it well because you looked better than 240. I'm not trying to be a jerk. It's what it was. And like I told Steve, it was funny because.
And she still likes
I wasn't
Chris.
Trying to be a jerk because like I seriously am in love with Steve and I'm like the least shallow person. But I told him she's paying
that manager's salary.
But listen, I told him, I said, when we started being, because he was my manager first, obviously. So when we started being like becoming more intimate and like realizing that we wanted to be a couple, I told him, I was like, for your health, because he has eczema and he has some other things, you know. Mm-hmm. So for your health, I was like, you really need to consider. And it's so weird because it wasn't really for me.
Can I time out for a second?
No.
Let's clarify.
I can't wait
for
this one.
Let's clarify what other things.
Can I get a 20-second timeout?
It's eczema and asthma. That's it. There's no other physical ailments like leprosy or herpes or anything.
No one said that.
You took it there, sir. You took it there.
Let me ask you a question, Chris. Time out. Do you think it herpes?
Time out over.
At all?
I was just thinking he's allergic to everything. So, I mean, peanuts.
Now we're wondering if you have herpes because you just brought it up out of nowhere.
Obviously, I don't.
I know, I'm just kidding.
It was the guy in Vegas with Reno.
Yeah. That's
right. So literally your timeout did nothing at all. It was so pointless.
It's like the NFL. But let's keep going.
So
and we'll have to, I have to put a disclaimer on the bottom of the screen for.
But so
I was going to say something, but I'm going to leave it alone. Health,
and it was funny because I think in the beginning he was like, she just doesn't want to date some fat guy. But then.
Fat guy in a little coat.
Hey, fat guy.
You'd be the fat guy down by the river.
Can we finish up how the fat ass?
Yeah, he's over. And he's like, let's move on. So basically, I think over time,
how did we even get here? Oh, the tube. Yeah.
The girl on the horse.
Yeah.
The weight limit in the tube.
So it's spiraled. So, but yeah, no, I think over time he realized it was really for his health. Like there's nothing wrong with curvy women. I'm a curvy woman. Like you don't have to be stick straight to be beautiful and be healthy. I actually went through a phase, and I think we talked about this on when we were on your podcast. I actually was so lean when I was competing that I was malnourished.
I've seen pictures. I was
malnourished. Like I'm a huge fighter. That's actually something like body shaming and talking about health and body positivity is a huge thing for me because there was a lot of people who were like, well, why didn't you stay like that? Like they literally were like, and let me just say, I had haters through every phase. I had haters when I was fat because everybody would call me freaking fat. And then I lost all the weight.
PHAT, pretty hot and tempting.
I lost all the weight, and I wasn't pretty hot.
Yeah.
Then I lost all the weight, but I had no muscle. I literally was a cardio queen. Mm. And then everybody called me skinny fat. Then
skinny fat. What is that?
It's like, and it's a real thing. I was there. It's when you have
thin but have a pot belly.
It's when you're thin, but you don't have a good body mass index. You don't have like a good weight ratio of what your muscle is. Compared to weight,
like Shaggy and the fat, Scooby-Doo.
Like gotcha. Your fat to muscle ratio, you have way more fat than you do muscle, but you have a skinny frame. If that makes sense?
No, it does make sense. You see that a lot with people trying to starve themselves, and they think they're losing weight, but they're losing muscle mass.
Well, I'm gonna throw a bomb on everybody here too. They're gonna learn a little bit. Just so anybody knows, I'm a certified a CPT, and I also majored in dietetics. Mm-hmm. So, I have that knowledge. And the funny thing is what a lot of people don't know is that if you cut your calories incorrectly and you actually under eat, and even if you could be clean eating, your metabolic rate could be set at a certain point to where you could actually be burning food so fast for your body type that your body goes into starvation mode. And they don't realize, what people don't realize is if you are not losing the right kind of weight and you're not losing fat mm-hmm. instead of muscle, then it's going to create the skinny fat figure. And that's not obviously what people want. But what most people don't understand is that when your body goes into starvation mode, it will actually go for eating the muscle first. And the reason why is because muscle is more dense than fat. So if you take that muscle off, your body doesn't have to work as hard to function every day with the muscle. Mm. And that's what it is. So I didn't know that. I didn't know any of that stuff at the time. I had lost a bunch of weight being a cardio queen. They called me skinny fat. And then it was like my next phase was I put a bunch of muscle on. Then I was called man woman. And I was too
She-ra.
Ripped. Yeah. She-ra. I was too ripped, even though I was a 00 pants. I was so skinny. Like it was insane. I was either called too
I saw
skinny.
Pictures of that. You had some nice biceps.
Yeah. I mean, I still do. Look at that.
Yeah, like, oh, shit.
I
like hid behind the microphone. But.
I still do. Look at that shit. You know, but you know, it's like you're never going to please everybody. That's the way that it is. So that's why it's so important. But I am also a huge believer that there is a point where you can have too much weight on you and it becomes unhealthy for you. And that was where mm-hmm. I was with Steve. I was nervous. So over time, when he started realizing, which happens to a lot of people, that him losing weight started actually becoming him becoming healthier all around. He's had less mm-hmm. eczema flare outs, his asthma, literally almost completely reversed his asthma because he was not having to struggle to walk every day and carry all that extra weight.
Struggling to walk.
Not walk, but you know what I mean? Like you would walk.
From Wally.
I mean, I wouldn't run to a stop sign or anything, but
I wasn't in like a hovering wheelchair. She makes it seem like I was.
I mean, you broke off in a sprint. I might be out of breath.
He thought he's like he was saying the characters from WALL-E, like.
Yeah, it's like it wasn't like those people from WALL-E where all I did was sat around and ate sub sandwiches in one bite, like all like Scooby-Doo style. Sounds good.
No, but I will say though, and you don't know, you didn't know this, but you'd be doing something and you'd start breathing, and I'd be like, "You okay?" Like you would be walking, and we'd be like on a.
You know, I've been watching. You know, I've been watching. I've been watching The Sopranos again. Did I tell you that? Every about 5 years, I watch Sopranos. So I've been watching The Sopranos. It's kind of like my mental thing that when I'm off the computer, I need it like maybe 45 minutes, and I'm off, and then I go to bed.
Yeah.
Because no technology goes in my room, right? So I was watching Tony Soprano. And the way that he eats is fucking disgusting. It's just like, you know, it's like, then I never noticed it before for some reason.
I hate that.
He was like,
I hate
lying. My dad eats like that. No offense, dad.
So I
used to be like, is it good? You know?
Is it good?
Like, sure it sounds like Cabo drinking that water back there.
Yes, she's, Cabo is the loudest eater and drinker I've ever heard in my life. But, that all got on a spiral as to if you were, there was a weight limit for iFly. So there was. You have to be, I think it's 260.
Now I got this, Chris.
You have to be under.
That's all about the angles.
Yeah, I flex my biceps, like so now he has to. He's like,
you see, it's all about angles and lighting.
Like, hold on.
Yeah, because I'm like, yeah, gym lighting, home lighting.
Yeah, I think it was a Saturday. I think it was a Saturday, and Steve was he's like, yeah, man, I'm like on the way back from the gym. And I was like, well, where are you at right now? And he's like, I'm at, what is it? Is it Fast Guys or Fast?
Five Guys.
I was like, what the fuck are you doing at Five Guys, bro? Like,
I don't know.
She was with me.
I don't know why, but Fast Guys was so much more funny to me. It's like the Minuteman.
Fast Guys.
Like, that's their slogan. We're the Minuteman.
That's another thing, obviously, ladies and gentlemen, making sure you take care of yourself. You know?
Five guys.
Make sure you take care of yourself with five guys.
That's right. That's man. I'm so hungry. Why did this happen every time I come on here with guys?
It's gonna suck here soon when we get.
I know. I already know. I haven't seen the videos yet, but I'm going to, and I'm just gonna make. I did see the name of it, and I was like, "Son of a biscuit."
Biscuit.
I meant to get. One. Well, I had the an offsite one. Meeting. I had an offsite meeting. I was trying to get back fast enough so I can have my tuna fish bell pepper thing that I made.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm so hungry right now. Anyways, All right, back to the show.
Get with it. So
the tube has a weight limit.
So it has a weight limit. So here's the experience because we didn't catch this part just because when we were coming in, we were in the lobby area where coming some other hot. People were signing up and we were still getting our stuff ready. So, you know, we were like, we'll get the guts because no one needs to really see that process. So we'll talk about it. So we walked in. Everybody was so freaking nice. We're in iFly Atlanta. And little did we know that they upgraded us to all the upgraded package stuff where we had the better gear. We had a complete private session, which it's already a pretty freaking good price.
It's expensive.
It's
pretty expensive.
So they hooked us
up. I've never
up.
Done it before, but I know it's expensive. When I was doing the when we talked about this, I think in episode whatever it was, and I was looking for the logo, and my staff was looking for the logo, and I had to see the prices for it. It was pretty expensive.
It's expensive, so I'm grateful. Like I was full on expecting to be in a group and just be like, hey everybody.
But, I think it would cost us about $500 for that session.
Yeah,
which is quite a bit. For
and
how
you
long
only
you're
get
there.
Which is crazy. You only get 4 minutes in the tube.
Yeah.
So you're paying $500 for 4 minutes.
So $125 a minute.
It's pretty crazy. So
in the tube,
I know this sounds crazy too, but it was so worth it. I told Steve we're doing this once a month. Like I've got an itch. I remember the first time I shot a gun, and this is the same kind of itch. Like I'm like, oh my god, I need to.
And his name was Ryan.
Like, the competitor in me is like, I need to do this, and I need to get freaking good at it, and I need to be the best at flying in this tube.
You'll
like that's
the
like
difference
all
between us and our instructor too.
So wait, let me finish. So we get in. We weigh ourselves, did not know there was a weight limit. 260 pounds is the weight limit for anybody that wants to go experience this. And you freaking should. As you can see, I'm amped about it. Then we walked in, we got our gear ready and we're waiting for our turn because what they do is they normally have it in groups. But we had a private session. So we were watching the first group go in front of us and finish up. And then they immediately would take us when they were starting to finish up and have it all timed out. To where they would pull everybody into where it was just constantly like someone, the group was in the tube and then the next one would come in the group, you know? So while they were waiting, they would have a little classroom area that they'd bring you into for first timers. And we came in, we watched a video, which is actually where it is. It's actually in this video that we have for you that we're going to pull up here in a second. And we gear up after the video. Oh no, we gear up first. Gear up first.
Mount up.
Yeah. Gear up, watch the video, and then you're in. And it's like crazy because you don't have a practice round. Like you literally just, you get told what to do. And then you're jumping in the tube with the instructor.
And you fly.
Let's be really honest here. The video was more like a hype video for people trying to sell tickets to a rap show. Like it was like,
oh, I can't wait. Welcome
to I Fly, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, you don't see the video. We weren't allowed to show the whole thing.
Okay.
We show like a tiny little piece of it.
Were they rapping? Or you were in Atlanta.
You'll definitely see Jesse dance to the video.
Well, I'm not even lying. So it had like a BB in the trail. So I did the
he did a Young Jock. Oh, yeah. Shit.
But yeah, we'll
shout out to Young Jock.
Shout out to Young Jock. If you want to do a little collab, you know, I'm down.
You know, I did see that he was an Uber driver at some point.
Shut the like front recently? Door.
Yeah, he was driving. No, it came out. It was a thing that he was driving around doing whatever he was doing. And he was, there was a deeper message behind it. I'm not sure if it was promotional, but he was driving for Uber.
That's freaking crazy.
Or Lyft. I think it's Lyft. One of those.
That's nuts. Well, yeah. So we'll go ahead and pull the video up and we'll kind of showcase everything.
Is it the one where does it have sound? I mean,
the very beginning,
beginning, and then the rest of it's not.
We'll talk.
Roll that beautiful iFly video.
Hey, you guys. So here we are at iFly Atlanta, and we are going to do a little skydiving in a tube.
It's just the coolest thing ever. Okay, so here's the actual lobby area, and the tube just sits right there in the middle. That's where everybody comes and gears up. You get your upgraded gear or like your regular gear. And so there's me, and I'm getting all the gear on, and I literally felt like the State Puff Marshmallow Man when I put it all on because it's so big and baggy. And then there's me watching the video, which I'm really not watching it because I was like, I'm going to be great.
Safety video.
To watch it. I'm like, I'm going to kick ass at this. I don't need to watch this.
Notice how the instructor is dressed like a superhero and we have like the frumpiest sacks on, period. Yeah.
So I'm in. So what he's doing now is the first part is you start to learn how to use your hands to be able to turn. So he's telling me, turn this way. And then he's like, okay, stop. Now turn this way. Now I want you to rotate your hands to be able to go forward. So he's telling me to now like turn another way. And then he eventually tells me move towards the camera. So he tells me to go forward like one way in the tube and then to go backwards. And he wants to know that you're able, that was the forward. And then he wants to know they're able to maneuver your body and know that you can go 360 degrees.
Yeah, pretty good control.
He actually was blown away. Like, so we got certificates because of it. So he was so blown away that you saw how slow before those people were moving before going up. He starts flying with me. Like we're flying up in the air. We're moving so much faster than anybody. Look how fast we're going.
Wow.
Compared to those other people. He was like, he goes, you're doing so great. Do you want to go fast? And I'm like, yes. So we are just moving up and down and up and down. And it was just a blast. Like I got out of there and I felt, like I said, the first time I had ever. Here's him. This is him. He straight up is in a Spider-Man suit. He actually pulls a Spider-Man move here soon, which is so cool. And this guy, so he trained. His name is Cody. I love him. His energy was addicting. Like, I just love this kid. And they hooked us up. Not only did they give us a private lesson, but they
looks
hooked
like
us
he's
up.
Like, he looks like some AI
Look
stuff.
At this Spider-Man stuff. Look at this Spider-Man stuff. Watch this. Boom.
What?
Isn't that cool?
So this guy right here, Cody, he legit, I'm not even kidding, taught everybody. He was the trainer who taught everybody. So not only did they hook us up with a private lesson, but they got us with the best guy in like all of Atlanta. So he was the guy that trained everyone. He's actually certified to train and get people out to go skydiving out of the plane too as well. So he was just, look at him go. Like, he blows me away. Like, when I watch this every time, I can't help but smile because, like, he's just so cool.
I'm actually blown away by it. Like, isn't holy smokes.
Wait, watch his ending.
See him exit the tube, bro.
Watch his ending.
The tube, and, like, if I had done this, I would have thwacked right against the tube.
Yep. His ending is unreal. Like,
oh, that happens in just a minute. He goes zipping up. And then he comes back down.
Watch this shit. Oh.
He goes, whoop. Just out of the
tub. Get out of town.
Yes. How and then, cool was that?
So I told Justin we got these frumpy outfits, but if I had an outfit like him, here's what I would look like. And for those of you that can't see, it's Mr. Incredible.
Oh my God.
The fat Mr. Incredible. So that's me. You got to tune in to watch it.
Oh my God.
That's me right there at iFly.
I got to get you to Bandit.
Yeah, right there.
Oh my God. I'm not even going to lie. Like, that's what he showed us before. And I was like,
that was pretty. Can I ask a question? Like, when he was doing all those tricks, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, say for instance, if I threw him out of a plane, you think he would not need a parachute?
He could. Yeah, he definitely need a parachute.
No,
but he can control his body in the air. Like, he.
Well, I understand that. But what I'm saying is, if I threw someone out and you can control your body in the air, wouldn't you be able to, like, kind of control your body and slow down to acceleration by the time you hit the ground?
Yes, that's actually the premise behind being in the tube, right?
Right.
So it's just like a drone flies. So when you're up in the air, right, mm-hmm. and you got your hands, if you tilt your hands to the right, you actually, the air pushes you that way. If you tilt it to the left, it pushes you that way. And tilt forward and backwards, it's the same way. The longer you are, the higher you go, the more wind resistance you have. So if you fall out of an airplane with no parachute, the best thing you could do is just make yourself as stiff as a board, because it'll straighten your defense. You're still going to die, but at least you won't hit the ground going
still
as fast.
Gonna die.
You won't hit the ground going as fast as you would if you were bent like as a skydiver.
Well, when they taught us, like, jumping out of a – I jumped out of a helo, obviously, in training. But when you jump out of a helo, they teach us to, you know, stick up like that and your feet all the way down.
Right.
So, breaks the fall, breaks the impact.
So that is a that's the premise behind all the tricks he was doing. It's all about the rudder of your hand and your feet and your legs. You can control which way you go and how fast you go by how far out you – it's like – figure skaters, like when they go really, really fast, they tuck their arms in.
Yes.
And then when they want to slow down, they stick their arms out. You know, it's the same kind of deal, except up and down and back and forth. Pretty interesting, though.
Did you go there first, or did you go to the burger joint? I'm pretty sure you went to the...
Yeah, because we were like,
I messed it up.
No, so I was like, we're going to be flying around. I have no idea. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not really like a person that gets nervous, but I was always told, and he confirmed, that flying in the tube feels exactly the same way as when you jump out of the airplane. He said, there's no difference. Yes. So Cody said that there's literally no difference. He actually said that the majority of
what up, Spider Cody.
So cool.
Spider Cody.
We actually followed each other. So I'll be tagging him in this video. Thanking him. He's the coolest. So he did confirm, though. He said that so many people go there to train. Like, a lot of people that don't want to just jump out of the plane, they go there to experience what it feels like, because he said it feels exactly the same. He said there's no, when you jump out of the plane, like, your heart doesn't drop. There's nothing like that. It's literally feels like there's wind coming up under you, just like when you're in the tube. So it's really cool to be able to experience that. And it made me definitely want to jump out of a real plane.
It's
now.
As close.
Have
as
you ever done that, by the way?
No, I've never jumped out of a plane, but I felt like I did with this whole process.
Can we all go skydiving?
Would you skydiving?
I would go skydiving.
As a company excursion?
Yeah, sure. I will do it. I will do it.
We'll film it for the road show.
I just feel like everything does work out eventually. You know, like you... With Abraham Hicks, I listen to her a lot, so right?
Oh, we listen to her every day.
And it's just like everything works out the way it needs to work out, the way it's going to work out at the right time. And it's just, it just goes and goes. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
You know, it's funny too, because even when you feel like all the resistance and it's like everything feels like it's piled against you, and you're like, I've had moments before where I'm like, there's no way that I'm going to be able to lift my head through this. Like, in life, like, there's no way that I'm getting through this. Then you do. And then you look back and you're like,
holy shit. Oh, what man. Did I say yesterday?
What?
I said tomorrow's the day. Did I not say that to you yesterday?
I don't know.
Not you. Said it I to said me. That to her.
We got this message on Instagram and it said something really, really big is going to happen. And Steve was like, I don't know why, but I feel it was,
I got a
we follow
message.
A lot of like Abraham Hicks type account. There's like another one called The Commanding Life that we follow. Love that account.
It's I just, think that somebody tagged me into something. I don't know who it was.
But I said today's the day, as in today.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Yeah. And he woke up and he goes, I saw this. And he's like, he goes, I just feel really good today. And I said, I think something good's going to happen today. That's what you said. Not today's the day. You said, I feel like something really good's going to happen today.
I had, you know, I see a lot of the numbers like 1111, 1414, 1212. Yesterday was a mother trucker. It's like every time I looked at my phone, it was on a number. Like,
yeah.
Wow.
It was crazy. It was crazy because like this morning when I woke up, I was like, I had so much inaccuracy feelings this morning.
Right.
That I typically don't get.
Yeah. You know that every number means something different though, right?
Yeah. And I look them up because I'm curious of what they are because I've never seen them before, like in those type of way.
Well, it's cool too because 111 is my lucky number and I feel like it's my angel number. And I always see it in moments of like when I'm uncertain about certain things. And then all of a sudden, which I didn't realize it, but I started realizing that like whenever I was having these moments of doubt and it was like, if I should move forward on something or not, there were times where I'd see it. And I'd be like, this is weird. Like I always see this number during this type of resistance feeling. Or this feeling. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I put it together and I looked it up and that number is actually supposed to mean that you are moving on the right path. Keep going. Don't doubt yourself. So I definitely feel like those are spirit guides reaching out and that's their way to do something physical on this earth is to just be like, hey, look at the clock, you know, like you just get that, perfect
it's an urge.
Timing, you know, but
yeah, it just doesn't stop. I mean, it at some point, you know, how do we say this? At some point you get to, I think the universe just creates an opportunity for you.
Yeah.
And it just keeps creating an opportunity. And the more that it goes around there and you choose the incorrectly, it pushes you back further.
Yeah.
Pushes you back further. Yeah. And the more that you keep leaning in and the more that you keep going after it, no matter whatever the circumstances are, it'll keep rewarding you and it'll make it maybe a little easier. But then I think that big test is when you get hit at that last moment and you don't budge.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like you obviously you get to the outer layer, right?
Yeah. You have to, it's that moment of resistance when it's like, when you feel like you want to give up the most, I don't necessarily, I'm always so open to religions. There's way too many things to not believe in, to not be able to give it an attention. And
right.
I was looking for the quote
just real quick on my phone. I was looking for, but I can't remember where it was.
You know,
anyways, go ahead.
I was going to say, I do love the story in the Bible though, just for the story itself where, I can't remember who it was, but he's digging. Do you remember who it was?
Nope.
He's digging and digging and digging in the desert for water. And
oh, really?
He'd stop and he'd get frustrated and he'd dig a new hole and he'd start the whole process over again. And he'd keep digging and he'd dig and he wasn't getting there. And then he'd stop and he'd get frustrated and he'd dig a new hole and he'd start over again, over and over and over again. And finally, I believe it's God that gives him this notion to say, keep digging, stop starting over, dig, keep digging in this one hole. You have to just push through. And he finally does. And it was like right before he was about to give up.
I got a question. So wouldn't you say if like being in that wind tunnel, and being able to maneuver around, going left, right, front, up, down, all the stuff that you were doing, not the Cody Spider-Man stuff when you've flown out the side of
wish.
It. That was some crazy precision. That's a pretty good word. Anyways, but wouldn't you say that kind of pertains to life and like trying to get to the outer layer of your potential and pushing through and just, but you think you need to push through. It's just more about holding space and holding your spot and just surrendering.
It is. It's true. You know, relating to that tunnel, it is, you had to get in there and you really couldn't overthink. Like they even had a sign for relax because that was relaxed. That's the sign, because they couldn't talk in there. So you actually had to learn the signs. Meanwhile, I'm little Josh. So he's doing these signs to me.
Doing
like,
young Josh.
There's like all kinds of signs and there's relaxing. She's
doing,
doing
gang signs. Yeah.
So, you know, and he said that's the most important one, surprisingly, is because people get in there and they're like, and their hands flare and they're all freaked out and they can't control themselves. And then they
Steve's face. And then they
try to control themselves. But the funny thing is, he goes, every movement that you make, like it has to literally be like this big in pieces, because if you go from like here to here, it will actually like flip you around and you'll do you'll be out of control. So he was like, you have to
I say that in when it comes to making decisions pertaining to getting to an outcome, you can't just make a huge risk. Like I look at mitigating my risk. And I am an uncommon thinker and an uncommon risk taker. However, there's a lot of intention and I would say understanding of the moving parts where I'm going to not be exposed in certain areas and looking at my less exposure when I'm going to make a decision.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think that's extremely important and really valuable information. And I feel like there's, you know, you could take away from being in the tube a lot about life for 4 minutes. It's a four-minute life lesson.
You can take a lot from the tube, Chris.
You can take a lot from the tube. But
so much, so little time.
Yeah, but you know, it's always
I could go on for a while on that. Okay.
It's always this balance though, because you know, you don't want to be this person that you don't try at all, you know, and you feel like because you can't just, I love it. This is something that Jim Carrey said when he talks about manifesting his dream role. And it was so, it's something that was so inspirational to me, was that he wrote himself a check and he said it was services rendered and it was going to be his role as an actor and he was going to make $10 million.
Look what I saved the other
day. That's so weird.
I saved something on my phone. It was a Jim Carrey quote.
Yeah.
A wise man once said, "Bees don't waste time at explaining to flies that honey is better than shit." I literally
a wise man once said, "Never interrupt a lady when she's speaking."
Yeah. Thank you.
Sorry.
So you know that's great that we're on the same wavelength. So thanks. That's great, Steve.
My bad. I'm just gonna go back over here in the corner and just get off the screen.
No. So he's such a drama queen. So you think it should be me, but Steve's always like, "You don't want to hear from
me. You just don't want to hear from me. I'm just gonna go over here by myself."
So but he wrote himself a check, services rendered, and you know, he was talking about how he had to let go in certain ways of the resistance of wanting that dream, at the same time still staying motivated to keep pursuing, because you have
stop
to
looking at me like that, Steve. Stop.
I'm just, it's to
my don't know why he's looking at the.
I'm watching her, bro.
Okay.
You were getting into that face where your eye was like slowly trailing the other way.
And you can start seeing me like not looking at him. I'm looking over here.
Okay, I'm sorry.
But you know, but it's always that fine line of like being able to let go and not have resistance towards what you want and your end goal, but still, like he said, not just going and, you know, you say, "I want this and I'm gonna manifest it," and then you just go and eat a sandwich and watch TV all day, you know? Like it's always that fine line of doing little steps and pushing towards where you want to go and still being able to have fun with the process and allow yourself to let go as to getting there, but not worrying so much about the hows and not worrying about the breakdown of exactly what your path is going to be, you know?
You can still eat the Sammy though. That's okay.
Yeah. I mean, take a break, eat the sandwich. I'm going to eat some Chick-fil-A, but
yeah.
Don't even, why do you do this to me, man?
You know, I do it on purpose.
It's Jesus Christ chicken and don't even count towards calories.
That's some bullshit, man.
That's like the first place we're going to take you when we pick you up.
I know, actually, to be honest with you, when I fly to Charleston,
I'm going to pick you up in a Chick-fil-A catering van.
My mom actually, one of the times, I can't remember which one it was, but she actually picked me up and picked up, two spicy chicken sandwiches.
Mine right there, bro.
Oh my gosh, bro. Extra pickles. What?
Have you ever had Hattie B's hot chicken in Nashville?
Yeah, you told me about this, but I haven't had that, but I have had chicken. Yeah.
I'm going to take you.
I like the tenders.
Can we stop talking about,
I'm sorry.
Well, talking about food.
Yeah, we're about to move on to food, but before we do,
segue.
I wanted to show off our little certificates. And that's the last thing, just finishing it up with iFly because they were so amazing. That's so this name. I'm showing Steve's. And you get a certificate.
What is the last checkbox? What's the last checkbox he didn't do?
That's one I didn't do.
It says fly in a variety of controlled multiple movements, which is what he does, like doing flips and things. So the cool thing is that not everybody leaves with a certificate with as many checks. Like some people, we watched them and they were in the tube and they could not do like the basic movements. So they won't get, for instance, they won't get flew up and down, backwards and forwards. So they won't get that check. So you take this with you. And then you move on to what your next lesson would be. So now since we're like a little more, we're intermediate, we'll start learning some more advanced things, intermediate things, which is cool.
Does your certificate expire?
No, there is no instructor. I mean, it says instructor and then there's no expiration date. No, it just says
so
the date that it happened.
So it's forever certification.
We're forever certified.
So... yeah, but so you get that and depending on how well you do, it's how many boxes and then you come back next time and they try to, you know, stay up to date with it. But they really went all out for us. It was the best. Chris, you have to try it. Like I'm passionately telling everybody, if you have not done this, you need to, it's a little pricey, but let me tell you what, like experience it just once. Like
I just really want a chicken sandwich now, you know,
just eat it after you go.
Yeah,
because the last thing you want to do is chunger in the tube.
Yeah, so we decided to
their sweet tea is really good too, by the way.
Oh my God, you're still on it.
how about we talk about our food excursion? Since right. Chris is hungry, let's talk about the food.
Yeah, let's get the food over with because we have a little bit of time anyway.
Roll that beautiful.
Oh, I see where to go. Okay, I'm excited because all I saw was Jess Lee's face, her food face.
He's going to tell you about it.
The thumb. What is it? Thumbnail. All right, you ready?
Yeah. Yes. So we stop at the one and only in Atlanta, Vortex Burgers. You actually have to be prepared. If you go and you stop in there, you have to be 21 to enter. So make sure you bring your ID or they will not let you in. And it's super, super fun and unique. It's got a super unique vibe on the inside too. It's all dressed up with all these fun knick-knacky kind of things. All over the walls and the roof and everything else, which is makes it really vibey and fun and unique.
Skip to the food.
Yep. Right. So here we're cheersing. I love getting it when I'm here because they serve the cider that's only available in Atlanta. So it's the Atlanta cider. These are their Dixie Wrecked fries.
Dixie Wrecked.
Yep. And they're actually poutine fries. So poutine. Yes, so they have gravy and like sausage and bacon and all this stuff on top of it.
Sausage
just
gravy.
Stacked. And there's me taking a big old bite. And I'm so glad we didn't eat all this food before we got in the tube.
Weightless my ass.
It was hot. It was hot.
This would have put us over the weight limit, bro.
Yeah, I was all about it. So this is their
What is that? Texas toast.
This is their chili. Cornbread and chili.
And the cornbread has jalapenos.
Those are nice pickles.
And then this was their, I believe it's their whiskey burger. And it's got this like whiskey barbecue sauce over it.
That's what it was called. The whiskey burger. It was something very similar to that.
And I love this burger. I actually always get their Elvis every time I'm there, which is their peanut butter and plantain and bacon burger. And we changed it up because Steve couldn't have the peanut butter. So
I get right up in this burger and show it to you, bro. Look at this. Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, mama.
I saw that onion looked good too.
Man, that plate looked real good, man.
Oh,
dude, I'll tell you what though, those poutine fries.
That's where it's at.
The Dixie Wrecked taters.
We decide that we're always gonna share a burger because we want the whole serving of the fries so bad. It is good.
The last time we screwed up because we got the full size of the Dixie Wrecked taters.
And our own burgers.
Then we each got our own burger and chili each.
Oh, it's okay. You got leftovers. Fine.
I felt like I was going to die. That chili, though, is so good and it's so meaty because I like meaty chili with no beans and there's no beans in that chili.
Yes.
Why is no beans in the chili?
I don't know, but I don't like beans in chili.
I don't like
either.
Beans
I've
in
always
chili.
Been that way.
I like the red beans in the chili. Yeah. The kidney beans.
I like just copious amounts of beef.
Yeah, lots of beef, lots of cheese, sour cream.
Have you ever had, my mom makes a pretty good recipe. It's Reba beans. It's like kind of like it's got brown sugar in it. It's got a whole bunch of different types. So it's really good.
I never even heard of that, which is so interesting.
I'll have to send you a recipe. Beans? I made it. I was homesick It happens about every month or so. I'll get homesick, and then I'll usually make something my mom makes, and then I'm back. I'm back.
It just sucks because, like, every time I try to make one of my mom's recipes, it's never the same.
Anytime, oh, it's never gonna be the same. Even the sandwich.
Yeah, I could literally follow it exactly to the T, and it's just not the same if my mom made it. And yeah, it's funny because even if it's just a cold cut sandwich.
Every time I make anything, it's not the same as anything because I.
No, like seriously, when I go home, I was like, "Mom, can you make me a sandwich?" And just because I want her to make the sandwich, and it tastes so much better.
It does.
It really does.
It's kind of like when you get dinner for free, though. It always tastes better.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, if somebody else makes it for you, it tastes better than if you got to make it.
Mm. Yeah, maybe. I will say though, it is a bummer.
All I have is food in my mind right now.
Well, we have a lot of places to go when you come out here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking you to Hattie B's, bro, and we're gonna get sick on chicken.
I'm good with that.
Yeah,
sick I'm good with that. Chicken. I'm good. You know what I haven't had in a long time, and I need to go and get a recipe for is buttermilk biscuits and make me some homemade biscuits.
I used to help my grandma make biscuits. Put the flour on the counter.
Yeah, me too. Me too. My granny.
Pat it down. Make them biscuits.
Make them biscuits.
Biscuits.
She used biscuits. To make
biscuits to and make, honey.
She used to make chicken and dumplings.
Oh, don't man, stop. Okay, no, all right. Let's talk biscuits. About something else.
She would put biscuits on top instead.
I know that's dumplings. Bisquick. You make the
Yeah, you make the Bisquick dumplings. Please cry.
Okay. The good thing is you're done with this episode anyway, and we're not gonna keep torturing Chris. So basically, what y'all learned on this show is
y'all learned today. We learned y'all today.
Stop into it. Georgia. You need to go to iFly, see Cody, experience iFly or just a flying experience. But honestly, iFly is the best of the best. That's why we went with them. And go there and do it just one time and just have the experience. Because I know it's a little expensive, but it's so cool and so worth it. I'm telling you right now, it's worth it.
We're still talking about iFly?
No, we're just doing a recap. Then
she was enamored.
When you're done, don't go eat first because you will throw up in the tube. But when you're done, go treat yourself. All that hard work.
Treat yourself.
Vortex Burgers. Get yourself some Dixie Wrecked fries, and it's a
poutine.
Day. It's a day.
Get that poutine, bro.
Take us out, Steve.
On behalf of Jess Lee, the very hungry Chris Ross, Black Label Nash, and Winject Studios, I'm Steve Virginia. Join us next week on a very action-packed episode of the Jess Lee Road Show.
This podcast is brought to you by Winject Studios. We are an all-in-one educational platform for podcasters that revolutionizes how hosts leverage content to increase engagement with listeners, downloads, and income. We come together to focus on community, collaboration, and collective impact. For more information on how you can interact directly with our hosts, access exclusive live content with offers you can't get anywhere else from our official partners, join our purpose-driven community by visiting www.winject.com. If you're ready to build a career doing what you love, then we're ready to see you there.